Very good morning, listeners, as you begin your footy weekend. As always, right here on 91.3 Sport FM's Breakfast with the Blues on day 8,744, Chris. Yeah. Since the mighty Blues last held the Premiership Cup aloft, your official WA Network supporter group of the Carlton Football Club, the WA Blues, remain to bring you the best start to your footy weekend on radio today. Your host today, as always, are myself, John Allen, joined by Chris Brownie, Yuri Bilsic, and very special guest today, all the way from Melbourne, Mr. Vince Lochisano. Welcome, Vince.
Thank you, Johnny. Great to be back
here. Flying all the way from Melbourne just to sit here in the studios,
well done,
mate.
Vince. Well
yeah,
done.
I'm not quite sure about that. I've got a Champions of Carlton function tonight. At the Hyatt Regency here in Perth to host, and we've got a fantastic lineup of special guests, including David Parkin, Wayne Johnson, Stephen Kernahan, Greg Williams, and the inseparable pair of Anthony Koutafidis and Ange Christou.
And
woof, woof, woof. That's right. He'll be here, so it should be a great night tonight.
And a little birdie told me that Steve DeRuy is going to be sitting on one of the tables as well, a little bit of a last-minute ticket holder.
Richard Dennis, I think it might be.
Richard Dennis is going to be there with a few of his mates. So
should be good fun.
I think Carlton United Breweries are going to be very, very happy with the night. I expect there to be a lot of empty pots.
Well, thanks for inviting me in this morning to take the place of Andy. Unfortunately, he's not here this morning.
It is unfortunate. We got the 3 a.m. message from Andy, so he must have had a ripper. He's lubricating up well and truly before the big night tonight.
So I've come in off the interchange bench.
So, look, guys, on the program today, as always, we're going to look at the AFL news, the Blues news, and review week one of the finals. Finals is upon us. It's fantastic. We got Doro, the one and only John Dorotich, coming on for our interview after the first break today. And we cross live to the hyphen, as always, after our second break to review the Blues, probably the season that was, and have a look at the finals a little bit with the hyphen, the shirt front, our regular segment. Any upcoming WA Blues supporter events, as we were just discussing, we'll have a chat about. And the weekly whack. Well, I've got a special one there this week for that one, so looking forward to that. And Chris, the show wouldn't be possible without a little bit of help from some of our WA Blue faithful friends. Would you like to rattle them off for us?
Certainly would, John. Well, we have to thank WA Blue's major sponsor, Hyundai WA, our platinum sponsors, Allmark and Associates, Tech Tiger, Master Pitcher Framers, and the Carlton Football Club home in WA, Empire, at 220 Great Eastern Highway in Lathlane.
Thank you very much, and thanks to all of our sponsors this year. You know, we've got a few more shows. We're going right through the grand final show, but our sponsors have just been fantastic.
They've been great.
And
yep.
Look, no matter who you follow, you want to watch the footy at the Empire if you're not there at Optus Oval. It's the only place to be. It's a fantastic venue. Guys, we'll go straight into the AFL news. We've entrusted our dear friend Vince with that this week, so get cracking, Vince.
Right,
we can't wait.
Okay, well, first cab off the rank is the announcement of former Carlton champion and also former Carlton coach Brett Ratten to the St Kilda senior coaching job. So we certainly wish Rats all the best from that point of view.
Except when they're playing
us, of course. Yeah. But that was a bit of big news during the week. I think not unexpected.
No.
Well done to Rats. Do you know he's the first Carlton coach, as in previous Carlton coach, to coach another team at senior level since leaving his position at Carlton, since Robert Walls got sacked in 1989.
Yes, and
did you know that?
I didn't.
Every
know
other
that.
Coach we've had has not gone on to coach another senior, yeah. another coach,
but
another
Walls
team at senior level.
Went to Brisbane after that, didn't he?
That's
yep.
right,
yeah,
and then Richmond.
Right, yeah.
But all the other Carlton coaches: Jezza, Parkin, Britton, Pagan.
We're a brutal club.
Well, Rats now has got to kill the job. And then Malthouse and then Brendan Bolton. Well, no one else has gone on to coach anywhere else.
Absolutely. So well done, Rats.
Well, once you have the best, you don't want to go back to anyone else.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We also have the news that the AFL have revealed their review hub, AFL Review Centre. They've even got the ARC the ARC. Unbelievable. That'll be trialled this September. It will feature advanced cameras with super slow motion, just to make sure that we can see their mistakes in slow motion.
Yeah.
10 people at a time, including two supervisors working across three different pods throughout the final series: score review pod, match review pod, and medical pod. Goodness me.
Pig's ARC.
Yeah. All right, moving on from that, we also have the news that Simon Black, former Brisbane champion, Brownlow medalist and Norm Smith medalist, will present this year's Norm Smith medal. And former Premiership coach Mark Williams, of course coaching Port Adelaide to a Premiership in 2004, will present the Jock McHale medal to the winning coach at this year's grand final.
So are they going to like helicopter Simon Black in from a ravine or something like that, Survivor style?
Yeah, I think so.
that'd be good, no? Better than Meatloaf.
I wonder whether Mark Williams will have his tie up in the hanging himself again. Also, the grand final entertainment this year, always a great source of comedy, will be an all-Aussie affair. Headline act will be Paul Kelly. Now, he is good.
Yeah. Legend.
So that's a good
decision.
Is he going
to sing the song Looking Over the MCG? Is he going to do that one?
Not sure.
Leaps and Bounds? Got to do that one.
No,
do you reckon?
No, he's not, Chris.
Okay.
He just texted me. He said, tell Chris no.
He will also be supported by Dean Lewis and Tones and I.
Who are they?
Mate, I'm showing my age.
That sounds like Tony DeBolfo and me.
Mate, I'm showing my age. I don't know who
you
they
don't
are.
Know. No, I don't know who they are either. But then again, I'm next generation.
I don't know like...
Here we go. Young Richie's all over this.
No, I don't know too much about them. I've just heard of their name.
Tones and I is actually a female.
So it's just a female?
Just a female.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
I don't like her already. Let's move on.
And also, Dean Lewis will perform the post-match concert. Also, John Williamson, Australian icon, will perform Waltzing Matilda. That should be something to look forward to. And, of course, Mike Brady will perform Up There Kazali in true AFL Grand Final tradition. Conrad Sewell will also perform the National Anthem. So that's a good lineup of Aussie talent. Moving on from that, Jared Roughead joins St Kilda on a 3-year deal. Big news. He will work in list management, leadership and a mentoring program. So that's furthering his career, a bit like what Hodgie's done at Brisbane and a little bit like what Mitchell has also done.
Jordan Lewis did at Melbourne too as well.
Yep. All of these ex-Hawthorn champions are going to other places and furthering their careers. Taylor Walker from Adelaide has decided to step down as captain of the club. He was a co-captain this year with Rory Sloane, so it'll be interesting to see whether they just give the captaincy to Rory or whether they appoint someone totally different.
Look, without being in the inner sanctum, I think they're in a bit of trouble there, as far as leadership goes. Nothing against
captain.
Rory Sloane, but...
It'll be interesting because they've got a full external review going
on. They do, led by Jason Dunstall and Matthew Pavlich as well. So
that was an interesting and controversial appointment in itself. So anyway, obviously Adelaide are going outside their inner bubble to find out what's wrong with their club. Last time Essendon won a finals game, guys. How many days do you reckon it was?
5,473?
You're two off. 5,475 days.
Against Melbourne in 2004.
Very good, Jerry. Jeez, I'm impressed with you. Damn good, this guy.
That's why we got him. We're all getting old, senile, forgetting what day it is. And we've got Yuri coming on. He's got stats from 1863. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. I might have to go on a Carlton trivia quiz with you and we'll see who wins. Sam Walsh was 4 years of age. when eight current coaches were still playing. And Buddy hadn't even been drafted yet.
That's since Essendon's won a final.
Wow.
Since Essendon won a final. Fraser Gehrig won the Coleman Medal for the Saints when they last won a final.
Fraser's barrel-chested burgers.
Now, all of that information was proudly brought to you by Chris Browning. And that's pretty much it for AFL News for this
Thanks
week.
Thanks very much, Vince. Well done, mate. It's covered a fair bit and... probably saves a little bit up the sleeve for some Blues news later on, which is great. Yep. But look, we've got about 6 or 7 minutes, and what we'll do is we'll go straight into the Eagles and Bombers review, then the Cats and Pies, and we'll have a look at the upcoming games, the Giants and Doggies and Lions and Tigs today. So Eagles and Bombers, Yuri.
Yes, big Thursday night game, the elimination between West Coast and Essendon, and... it probably would have been expected if the Bombers had have challenged West Coast throughout the match, they would have been a chance to win. But after Andrew McGrath kicked the first goal for Essendon, it was all one-way traffic for West Coast. And repeat inside 50 entries yet again costed Essendon from going consistently from their back half all the way to their forward half. And just exactly like round 14, it was an issue once again, which they just couldn't contain, unfortunately. I thought in the third quarter when... Adam Saad kicked a goal to get them back within four. They were somewhat of a sniff, but they sort of felt like afterwards West Coast re-steadied again and then just the damn wall burst wide open.
I've got two words for you, Yuri. Yeah. Knick-knack.
Yeah.
He dominated that first quarter.
He did.
And then throughout the game with his tackling pressure and his pace for a big man, he's like having an extra
midfielder. He's sort of like, in a way,
incredible.
People talk about him as being the barometer, and that's correct.
100%.
Like, what he can do on the ground as well. And I know throughout his career, he hasn't sort of, in a way, he's marking. Like, he doesn't take many marks, but on the ground, he's just like an extra midfielder, like what Brody Grundy is for Collingwood.
Bit like Matthew Cruiser.
Yeah,
is
and
us.
Cruiser
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. And yeah, it can't all be about one person, but it's undoubted that if they can keep him on the park, Eagles are a big chance to remain going back to back. Don't worry about that.
And I think also they had Hutchings play on side as they did back in round 14 as well, and that was effective once again because him and McKenna, the two barometers off their half back line, need to play well, basically, for them to win, in a way. Apart from Heppel, of course, and Merritt.
He got off the chain from Hutchie a little bit, but that's nothing against Hutchie. I mean, Assad, he's very, very fast, flat-footed, bang, and away he goes. And you could see, I think Hutchie was a little bit worried about his hamstring at times there. He was trying to chase, but he was just holding it back a little bit. So, but anyway, we got to move on.
Yes.
Thanks for that, Yuri. Fantastic review. And I'll try and shut up. going on so that we can get through this. Cats and Pies, Chris, how did you see that last night?
Well, I don't want to give them too much credit, so I'll be very quick.
Thank you.
Collingwood had the first 10 inside 50s, the first 5 scoring shots, and the first 3 goals of the match getting the early jump on Geelong. After halftime, the match was stuck in a holding pattern, clearly due to the side's injuries. Geelong closed the gap in the last quarter, holding Collingwood scoreless, which is always good to see. But Geelong's fight back proved too little too late as the Pies moved into the preliminary final, winning by 10 points. Best for Collingwood was 300 game of Pendlebury, side bottom Adams, Phillips and Grundy. And best for Geelong was Dangerfield, Parfitt, Stewart and Kelly. The injuries, Degoe hamstring, Greenwood with a suspected ACL, and Duncan with a knee, and a good shout-out to Melbourne, always, 93,000 people at the G.
Absolutely. So
on a cold night that I didn't have to take part in.
If they'd have tried to have that game at the Cattery, it would have looked like one of those deli trains with everyone hanging off the side and the top, wouldn't it?
Tell me.
You know, proof's in the pudding, isn't
it? Does Chris Scott get a game down Geelong against West Coast?
I would have loved to have been. All I know is that I would have loved to have been a journo after that game.
And ask
it would have been the first question. So, Chris, the dimensions of the MCG, do you think that played into Collingwood's hands at all? Like, what are your thoughts on that? You just see the old Parco veins would have been pumping on the side of that. Would have been fantastic TV. But anyway, we'll move straight. Thanks for that, Chris. We'll move straight on to the Giants Doggies. Vince, how do you see that going today? Big game.
It is a big game, and I guess a lot of people are thinking that their clash 2 weeks ago will tell the story, with the Doggies winning by over 10 goals over there in the same venue that they're playing in this afternoon. But I think it'll be a different game today. There's
a
few big inclusions for the GWS. Last time they were embarrassed in round 22, and I think they'll certainly be a lot more competitive this afternoon. Key matchups: Josh Kelly expected to go up against Lachie Hunter. Both left-footers, both ball magnets in their own sides. Kelly probably causes a bit more damage with his left foot and can move into the midfield, of course, but Hunter does accumulate a lot of possessions and will provide a lot of supply down there for the forward line. Never stops running, that kid.
Yeah.
Matt DeBoer, the classic tagger, will probably get the job on Marcus Bontempelli, who
I think
is a big chance for the Brownlow. And
second
will try to reduce
Cripple,
his
mate.
Influence.
What's that? Second behind
Cripple. Yeah, of course. Yeah. He'll be so good in the Brownlow, he might get within 10 votes of Patrick Cripps. Josh Dunkley as well, and Tim Taranto, they're both in excellent form.
Yep.
Hopefully they'll go head-to-head. It should be a great clash in the midfield. That will surely impact the outcome of this result. And, of course, there are some big ins for the GWS compared with that round 22 clash. Shane Mumford, the big ruckman, that's where it all starts, in the middle. And, of course, Coleman medalist Jeremy Cameron, who will no doubt supply a lot of goals if GWS end up winning the game.
The Doggies have a secret weapon for Jeremy Cameron, though.
Yeah.
Apparently they're flying in Steve Smith from England, too. That's how much his game means to him, mate. They want the best player in Australia.
Well, look, I expect it to be close. It wouldn't surprise me if either team got up. Being a Victorian, I'd love to see Western Bulldogs go at least another week and go into next week's semi-final against the loser of the Brisbane versus Richmond game.
I still like the Doggies as well. Yeah, not just because they beat the GWS by 10 goals a couple of weeks back.
They are in great form.
Because they've been beating everyone by 10 goals. Yeah, and they're unchanged. Yep. They're settled. The week off would have benefited them, not halt their momentum, I don't think. I just think they're scary. I love what they're doing.
Yeah. If you look at what they've done in the second half of this year, it's been they're probably one of the two top form sides of the league.
Absolutely. Now, we'll move straight along. We've got about a minute, young Richie, for the Lions versus Tigers review before we go to a break.
Okay, so it's only been a couple of weeks since the two sides played at the MCG, with Richmond prevailing 27-point winners in the end. Some big matchups to look forward to, with Jack Riewoldt and Marcus Adams potentially going on one another, or could well be him and Harris Andrews after what Riewoldt did in the first quarter of that clash, kicking four goals. The other one between Dylan Grimes and Charlie Cameron should be a fascinating matchup as well, especially with Grimes' speed being one of the quickest in the Richmond team too. Just the whole midfield nucleus of both sides as well. Like with Brisbane, from what I've seen, like this whole season, no one gets like 35. Oh, Lachie Neal does, but then the rest is all like 25 and down. So it's like an even spread of like ball contributors, and then same with Richmond too. So that should be really close all together.
Yeah, fascinating. I think Fagan's just got to keep them doing what they've been doing, you know.
I love the Brisbane story.
Yeah.
So we all love a fairy tale. Wouldn't it be great to see them in the grand final?
And it's nothing that would give me more pleasure than to see the Tigs get beaten and not have a rest.
You know what that reminds me of, Brisbane's year? It was going back to 2001 with Port Adelaide. They had a shocking 2000. They only won seven games.
Yeah.
And then they just completely flip-sided around the following year. Yep. I know they got knocked down straight sets in that final series, but their year was unbelievable, Port Adelaide.
The years that Brisbane Lions won their three premierships.
Yeah.
I think two out of those 3 years, Port Adelaide finished on top of the ladder.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yep.
Righto, guys. Thanks very much. Fantastic review there, everyone. We've really covered that, and it's time to go for a break. When we come back, 1987 premiership champion from Carlton, goal sneak, snagsman, whatever you want to call him, from South Fremantle, I'll forgive him for that, the one and only Doro, John Dorotich. Go Blues. Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. More information on the WA Blue schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues.
Station sponsor. Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers. It's okay. Tech Tiger can help. For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au. Tech Tiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Blue Baggers of WA. Join more than 60,000 members and be part of the record-breaking Carlton Army today. It is time to prove you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria in 2019. The region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership.carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a Blue Bagger.
Station sponsor. And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back to Breakfast with the Blues here on 91.3 Sport FM, where it's 24 minutes past 9 o'clock. Now let's swing into the latest Blues news that's been going on in this past week, with Shane Watson departing as the head of development. He has been there since 2016 after 4 years at the club. The club is expected to appoint former Brisbane star Luke Power, who was the AFL Academy coach, into the coaching panel. Power will become the new head of development. As thus far, he's currently working as the coach of the league's academy team, which sees him have access to the elite talent within the draft pool. Should be a handy pickup as well. The other news as well, the AFL announced that Kane Little had been awarded the 2019 Graham Samuel Award Scholarship. Well done, it's awarded to a senior manager within the football industry who is working in the areas of business or administration. He receives $20,000 to put towards a study course to further his development. And once again, a big congratulations to Kane Little, who we had on last Saturday here on the program.
Well done. Promising CEO, isn't he?
Great stuff, Kane. And guys, sorry about a little bit of lateness there, bringing our guest, but just it is time to bring in our special guest. We mentioned before the break, we got the great man, 1987 Premiership champion for Carlton Football Club, Snagsman, from South Fremantle, which I'll forgive because I'm from Swan Districts, as you all know. But the great man, John Dorotich, is online with us. G'day, John, and good morning to breakfast to the, with the Blues for the first time, mate.
G'day, mate. Thanks very much for having me on.
Mate, it's an absolute pleasure. And, mate, just before we go into a few questions about Carlton and where we're looking at the moment and everything else, a little bit about yourself, mate. From South Fremantle, I watched plenty of games with you back in the early 80s, and then you made your way over to Carlton with a great WA contingent in the team, WA champions all over the place, and you ended up playing in the 87 Premiership. But how did it all begin? How did you make your way from South Fremantle to the Blues?
Well, I suppose I think I had my league debut in 1981 back then. So back in 1981, I played Colts Reserves and League in the same year. I ended up playing four league games under Malcolm Gregory Brown, who everybody would know. So he was an interesting character and quite a ferocious and scary person. But we got through and had a good time with Malcolm. And I suppose as the year went on, 82, 83, you started to get a few more games and get a little bit of development and learn the craft a little bit. And I was fortunate enough in 1984 with John Todd to play in the State of Origin game against Victoria, which most people will remember being, you know, WA troops back then. It was on a Tuesday afternoon at the Subiaco Oval, and 50-odd thousand people would get there. And I was sort of like a kid in a candy store, I suppose, when you look at the quality of players that were back then. Gary Ablett Sr. kicked 8 goals playing on a half-forward flank. But, you know, we had Michael and Rioli and Peake and Sidebottom and Glenn Dinning. And, you know, and then you had Ablett and Madden and people like that, Jared Healy, Williams, all of those boys got the big. So I'd played a few games of football there, and then not so much out of the blue, I suppose. I had a few phone calls from a different club, a range of clubs, and Carlton ended up getting me over in 1985, or actually early 85, and entertained me and showed me around the traps, got me drunk, and sort of locked me away in the room and said, you know, how much would you like? And, you know, at the end of the day, I had no idea because, you know, you were getting $3,000 or $4,000 a year for South Fremantle. So if somebody gave you anywhere between 4 and 6 times multiple of that with a cash check, you go, well, God, that's all right. So back then it wasn't sort of the drafting system. It was the Form 4. So you signed an agreement that basically said if you turned up anywhere in 1985, 86 or 87, you were bound to Carlton.
Yep.
And then you would negotiate the terms of your contract after that. And if you chose not to go up, you keep the money. And if we all remember Backshaw Ford back in the day down there on Hampton Road, South Fremantle, I ended up buying a beautiful Ford Fairmont. But somewhere along the track, I ended up buying a car that looked like a mobile banana. It was bright yellow. So not sure why, but it worked out all right. So,
absolutely.
You know, got married in October of 85, had a honeymoon, and then went over to Melbourne. And you know, you run into people like Kernahan and Bradley and Motley, as it was early on, and, you know, Bruce Doole and people like that around the club. So it was certainly an eye-opener for me, you know, being a young, what was I then, 23 and a half, I suppose, when I first turned up November 85 to pre-season.
Nice one. And just quickly before I throw you to Vince for a question, just a very quick question for you. How important was it to be surrounded by the WA boys like Kenny Hunter and these guys that were around the place? Well, Steve DeRui, Peter Satori, around that 85, 86, 87 era. How important was that to have that bit of support there?
Yeah, well, Satori and those boys didn't come until probably 87 and 88, but you would have had Wayne Blackwell was around there, Kenny Hunter, Buzz, you know, tried desperately. You may remember his father was quite ill, so he came back to run the sports store, and he desperately wanted to come back and play in 86 and 87, but unfortunately it wasn't to be with the health of his dad. But I suppose the Carlton Footy Club, like all clubs, I reckon, you know, they provide great support. Having the WA boys there was great, and obviously just being, you know, recently married and all that, the girls, partners, wives of the existing players were very, very, you know, good to us, you know, along the way and made you feel welcome. So, you know, coming into a place where you realistically didn't know too many people other than a couple of WA guys, it was quite an experience, and it's such a proud and historic club in Melbourne anyway.
Fantastic.
G'day, Dora. It's Vince Lochisano here, mate, all the way over in Perth at the moment. For a big function tonight, and I've been invited here this morning, and it's great to catch up with you again, mate.
How are you, bud? Going well?
I'm doing all right. What are you selling these days?
Well, I'd like to sell real estate like you and drive a Mercedes, but I'm in the drinking game, and I've got a Volkswagen 1988 anyway. So.
Very good. Now, when you first came over as part of that big four that you mentioned, Kernahan, Bradley, Motley, and yourself, and I'll probably throw in another fifth one there, Bernie Evans, in 1986. Came over as a forward. Hadn't you played most of your football in the forward line? But, of course, we remember you mainly as a key centre-half back playing on guys like Dermot Brereton.
Well, yes, that's exactly true. I could tell you how good I am as a forward, Vince, and, you know, but the sad part about it, in a sense, was that when I came over, I suppose, you know, I did play a bit of backline footy early on at South Fremantle, but then I played predominantly 83, 84 and 85 at centre-half forward, and you know, playing even the State of Origin, because I was 6'4" thereabouts, you could play back and forward, and I was sort of the utility in that State of Origin game. But you probably remember Val Paravic. There was probably a few spots available in 86. Bruce Reid finished up. Sellers was still running around, so, you know, when the opportunity came, you've got Sticks, who's a great forward, and then there was I, who, although was a very good forward, there's probably a greater opportunity to slot me into that vacant spot at centre-half back. And, you know, you sometimes do wonder, Vince. You know, like, you know, I reminisce with my young bloke, and you talk about, oh, geez, you know, you can only read what you read, and it makes you feel good sometimes when you look at it. But, like, Some of the games, I reckon the best game of football I ever played in my life was a game in 1985 at centre-half forward. Not to bore you, but eventually I've had 19 kicks, 17 marks, 2 handballs and 10 goals, 2 and 5 opponents.
Reasonable
days work.
That was
boring. You know, so you sit there and you wonder, you go, wow, what happened? You know, I reckon I was a better athlete over the ground than Sticks, but he was a champion player, but he could have played closer to goal, and we could have moved Sellers into the forward pocket, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Now, but Chris, Vince and Yuri, you're all going to the function tonight. Remember that, probably a better athlete than Sticks. So let's make sure that gets in Stephen's ear tonight, all right?
No, I'll message him to let him know. No,
Interestingly, though, despite having started in the back line and being renowned with Carlton people as being a very solid centre-half back and played very, very well there, you actually played in that 1987 grand final as a full forward, didn't you?
Yeah, well, that's it. That was probably more of a surprise than anything. Look, I'd struggled at the end of the back, probably third of 87, with the modern-day concussion stuff that goes around, Vince. I probably wouldn't have played for a while, but...
Yeah, you copped a few heavy knocks in those 2 years, 86 and 87.
Well, in the back half of the year, I'd sort of run back with the flight of Bourne. Donald McDonald jumped up and beat me in the head, and then I had 11 staple stitches in my head. Came out, played again, probably, you know, with concussion, not really understanding at all back then. And the following week, I think we played Fitzroy at Princess Park, and in an innocuous, I was on the ground, sort of like with the ground ball, jostling for the footy, and Keith Thomas, the current CEO of Port Adelaide, came in there, and if you watch the vision of it, which I've seen, you think, God, there's not much there, but he actually kneed me in the temple, and I rolled over like a cow and just was asleep for 4 or 5 minutes.
carried off on a stretcher, played again the week later, and then I was struggling. I just, you know, for a period of 3 or 4 weeks, I just had no idea because I'd lost all confidence and all that. And then Ballsy gave me the, you know, you might not play if you don't pull your finger out sort of thing. And luckily enough, I got a kick and I survived. So, but I think they wanted to do something. You know, Dermot and I'd had a lot of very good contests over the, you know, the period of time that we were there together, but
Well, you freed up David Rees-Jones to win a Norm Smith medal as a result.
Sorry, guys. We've got to start wrapping it up. We're running out of time, so I'm going to very rudely interrupt and jump over to Chris for a quick question.
Good morning, John. Chris here. How are you doing, mate?
Hey, mate. How are you?
Very well. John, mate, the Blue supporters know you as Dora, but the players had a different nickname for you. I believe this may have stuck after you were introduced to the Blues faithful for the very first time by then-President John Elliott. Can you elaborate any further?
No, it was at the family day, and as you can imagine, like Stephen Kernahan gets introduced and his name is correctly done with a plastic bag and or a paper bag back then. No, but he introduced me at the family day as Jack Doherty. So that's stuck. That's stuck. And you know, like it's like everything in life. There's the haves and the have-nots. And unfortunately, Jack probably put me in the have-nots category because he couldn't remember his name. But anyway, he's a distant memory.
Yuri.
Hi, John. Yuri Bilsich speaking here. How are you going?
Good, mate.
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Just want to talk about your career back in South Fremantle once you retired at Carlton. So in 1996... and 97, you won the Bernie Naylor medal, leading the goal kicking in the Waffle with 88 goals and 107 respectively. In those two seasons that you combined for 195 goals, what did you feel like within just those 2 years alone that you were just like unstoppable in the way for opposition defenders, that they just couldn't lay a hand on you, and plus the midfield supply that you had as well?
Yeah, no, we had a pretty good group back then, and I suppose we were fortunate South Fremantle was aligned with the Dockers down there. And in 97, there was two young boys that you'd all probably remember, Jess Sinclair and Heath Black, two little left-footers. So old Doro didn't venture too far as a 34, 35-year-old. Probably 30 metres would have been maximum from the goal square. I used to warn the young, muscly kids that thought they were smarter than me what their fate would be if they thought they could outmark me in a one-on-one when they were only 90 kilos and skinny and I was 100 and just understood how to use your body. But, you know, it was great for me to go back there. And as you said, the Bernie Naylor medal was struck bit like the Coleman medal. The guy was a great South Fremantle person. You think of Bernie Naylor's body kick, I think 162 goals in a season at one stage, and kicked 23 in a game over here in a home and away game. So to win the first two medals, it was great. But, you know, for me, it was fantastic that I was then sort of the co-captain as well. So to be involved and hopefully educating some of the young kids, but to finish off as a 35 and a bit year old in 97, you know, kicking the goals, winning the Coleman, the Footballer of the Year, and then being a Premiership captain, I suppose, just completed a nice career over 17 years.
Mate, Chris again. Mate, a little birdie told me you were very good at the nightclub on St Kilda Road, the Chevron, which I believe our regular on the show, David Rees-Jones, first took you to. Is there any is there any stories you can share on the hyphen from the nightclub scene that we can give it to him when he comes on the... very soon?
We've got about a minute.
Vince hit the nail on the head. How long have you got? I'm not one to tell stories, but David was probably a good time boy. He probably spent a bit more time out. I enjoyed it with my wife and that as well from time to time. But, you know, what stays at the nightclub, what happens at the nightclub stays there. Apparently that was the rule we all agreed to all those years ago. So you'll have to just imagine and then decipher between yourselves whether it's true or false.
We're always trying to get a bit of dirt on our good mate, the hyphen. I think that's where Chris is going. Well done, Chris. I think you probably enjoyed it.
If you want to ask him something, I ended up in a pre-season training competition when him and I were blind drunk at about 4 o'clock in the morning and Peter Motley was in bed. We were down at Geelong and we played murder ball and we both wanted to smash Motley and get him, but in the end we smashed each other and David head-butted me straight into the nose and I was knocked unconscious and then had to have major nose surgery a couple of days later to fix up what he did to my head. But we didn't realise because we were still pissed from the night before.
Says a fair bit about the hyphens noggin as well. You're never going to win that one. Mate, we do got to wrap it up, Doro. It's been fantastic. Thanks for coming on, giving us a few minutes of your time. Really appreciate it. The supporters appreciate it. We'll have to get you back on again soon, mate. So thanks very much again. Go Blues.
No worries. Good on you, boys. Take care. Good
on you, Doro.
Thanks, Doro.
Thanks, John.
Good on you, mate.
Bye-bye.
John Dorotich, fantastic chat.
He's a great bloke. Really
good to reminisce really always with the 87 and 95 past players. But, look, he's another one again, like we say. You could go on forever and make an hour show out of that. And, look, he did have a fantastic waffle career with South. So I remember watching him in the early 80s. Dad used to take me to every Swan Districts game. And, look, we hated Doro. He was one of those, Doro, you mongrel, you know. You'd be yelling, the guys would be yelling over the fence. And but he was a strong boy, you know. And whether he was playing half-back or half-forward, a very accomplished player. And we're certainly really glad that he came to the Blues, that's for sure, boys.
Absolutely.
So we're going to wrap it up for this segment. And when we come back, we'll have a few words from our sponsors, and then we'll have a chat with our good friend David Rees-Jones, as we do every week on the shirt front. Looking forward to that one. Go Blues.
Blue Baggers of WA. Join more than 60,000 members and be part of the record-breaking Carlton Army today. It is time to prove you are the most passionate Navy Blue region beyond Victoria in 2019. The region with the highest membership growth this year will go into the draw to win Virgin Australia flights, accommodation and tickets for two to the 2019 John Nicholls Medal, among other great prizes. Whether you're able to travel to Melbourne to watch the Blues in action or show your support from afar, there's a membership package to suit you. Head to membership.carltonfc.com.au right now and sign up today. There's no borders to being a Blue Bagger.
Station sponsor.
Your WA Blues are the official West Australian supporter group for the Carlton Football Club, established by Carlton in 1992. We regularly gather as one at the Empire in Lathlane to watch live games of the Mighty Blues. Here we provide a fully inclusive, family-friendly environment with raffles, auctions, WA Blue food and beverage specials, but most importantly, watching the Mighty Blues live on the big screen. From our functions and events, you can find out about further upcoming local events. Carlton Football Club memberships, purchase of local WA Blues merchandise, season raffle tickets, even Carlton number plates for your car. Just look for one of the committee shirts and ask one of your friendly representatives for any information. We as a committee also help Carlton with pre- and post-match functions whenever the Carlton Football Club teams travel to Perth. Attending the pre-match functions gives you the chance to win match day ground passes. More information on the WA Blues schedule of events and supporter services can be found on our website, wablues.com, Facebook and Twitter. Go Blues!
Station sponsor.
We have been given the challenge to explain what Allmark, Perth's leading specialists in marking and identification, do in 30 seconds. Plaques, badges, laser cutting, stamps, workwear, trophies, promotional products, hats, caps, shirts, signage, engraving, stickers, screen printing, stencils, stubby holders, digital printing, honour boards, banners, awards, labels. Oh, who are we kidding? They can do any custom job we want. Allmark. Engrave, print, identify. Charles Street, North Perth.
Is your business website stuck in the age of dial-up internet? Is your business website lost in the jungle on page 20 of Google? Perhaps no one can find your business online, and your competitors are stealing your customers.
It's okay. Tech Tiger can help.
For professional web design, digital marketing, and getting your business found in search engines, visit techtiger.com.au.
Tech Tiger, proud sponsors of the WA Blues.
Station sponsor.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous Old Dark Blues.
Welcome back, listeners. We hope you're enjoying the program so far. You are listening to Breakfast with the Blues, hosted by your WA Blues committee, presented today by myself, John, Chris, and Andy, Yuri, and Andy sent us a message at 3 a.m. He can't make it, so we don't know what Andy got up to last night. But special guest in the studio, ultimate fill-in, Vince Lotrisano. And
people might be wondering what the hell I've got to do with the Carlton Football Club.
Oh. Mate, well, that could be another program that goes for a legend.
Yeah,
that's
true.
But, mate, it is that time of the week where we bring in our good friend, 1987 Premiership hero and Norm Smith medalist, the one and only hyphen, David Rees-Jones. Good morning, David. How are you going today?
Yeah, good to be with you. What's been snowing over there?
He's on day release from Pentridge, and they've flown him over in a Frio prison.
No, mate, just hosting another Champions of Carlton function, which you've taken part in when we had one in Hobart, I think. Right.
Very good luck with all that anyway.
Thanks, mate.
We've got the big lineup this week as well with or tonight with Parco, the Dominator,
yes, Kernahan and Williams,
Dix, your best mate Diesel, and Cooter and Ange.
We just need you over here, Reece.
Yeah,
make sure there's plenty of Crown Lagers there.
There'll be a lot of empty pots there. That night. Steve DeRui sitting on one of the tables as well, so that's a guarantee. There'll be a lot of empty pots, mate. Finals are upon us. We've had a couple of games so far. Just love to get a general view on the two games so far. What do you think of the Eagles and the Pies credentials?
Yeah, look, the Eagles, gee, they some of the passages of play were fantastic. You know, that was as good as you'd see sort of thing. But Essendon were disappointing. I mean, they weren't great throughout the course of the year. They're up and down a fair bit. And probably played accordingly. I mean, you've got to remember the West Coast Eagles are the reigning premiers, and they're defending their titles, so they have plenty to prove out there after being knocked out of the top four. I thought they were terrific, actually, and it's always good for a Carlton supporter to see Essendon get beat too, so I wasn't too disappointed there.
Absolutely. And you're watching that Nick Nat influencer, he's massive. I mean, you can't rely on one player, but if they keep him on the park and fit and he's mobile, mate, look out, they can go back-to-back. And which leads me into the Geelong-Collingwood game, because how bizarre was it to leave Reece Stanley out? And what the Eagles were doing was what Geelong did last week in round 23 to us with Stanley down the danger field, and they leave Stanley out and the Pies were all over it.
Yep.
Yeah, it was an interesting call at the last minute. Look, it was pretty wet leading into the game. There was, we had some storms over here, so maybe they thought for the balance and the ball to be on the ground a bit, but gee, Grundy's such an important player and such a damaging player that you'd really want your best ruckman up against him, and they decided to go with their full back. Most of the guys played full back most of the year, and that weakens their back line as well. So anyway, you live and learn by your mistakes, and I think the Cats have been pretty good this year. I think they might bounce back.
Yeah, I guess Reece, finals are all about X factor players. We've just mentioned one being Nick Natanui for West Coast. Collingwood, they're going to have a few injury worries going into their preliminary final, but at least they've got a week's rest to get over a few injuries. Who do you reckon their X factor player is?
Well, one of the blokes you just mentioned there, Dugowie, you know, who is a little bit suspect with the injury at the moment. He has really been their X factor player right throughout the course of this year. And he's the sort of bloke in a quarter or half a quarter of footy, he can tip the game on its head. So they're the sort of players that are dangerous, especially come finals time. But they've got a fantastic midfield though. I mean, Pendlebury's probably still playing as good a footy as he has. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if he picked up his sixth Copeland, isn't they have down there Copeland Trophy. Yep. Yeah, so, and he's got five already, and it wouldn't surprise me if he'd be one again this year. So that's the quality of what he's, the standard of play he's playing at the moment. And he's just been a great finals player all round, over many, many years for Collingwood. So, they looked pretty good last night, pretty good defensively, and I thought their defence might have been a little bit suspect, really. But, they managed to hold it together, and that was terrific.
As normal, though, they had pretty good run with the umpire.
Yeah, they did early, didn't they? I did mention that on Facebook.
Righto, General, I'm going to jump in there because I'd just like to remind everyone on the panel that we are followed by the WA Magpies supporters group on this radio station. There's no need to talk about the prison bars anymore. I think we've covered them enough. Let's stop talking about that lot. Yuri, over to you.
Yes. Morning, Hife. Yuri Bilsich here. How are you going?
Yeah, good, mate, good.
Good. Just last night's game, Geelong and Collingwood, there was one interesting bit, and it was just about Steele Sidebottom. He had a pretty quiet first half alone. He had 11 touches, and in the second half he just completely took off with 22, ended up with 33 overall. Considering what Geelong did also, just in addition with leaving Rhys Stanley out and just having Blitzarves and Grundy go head-to-head, and then Grundy absolutely dominating for 47 hitouts compared to Blitzarves' 14, do you feel like that, in a way, with Grundy and Sidebottom's tag team in tandem, sort of like split Geelong's midfield wide open to the point where they couldn't really tag Sidebottom in a way because all of the other Collingwood midfielders had a massive influence on the game?
Yeah, well, that's it. They've got so many going through there. I mean, Adams and Treloar, who we haven't mentioned yet, Sidebottom, you just mentioned then. So they've got quite a number of very good, talented, experienced players going through that midfield. So I think at the start of the year, we sort of looked at Collingwood and thought, geez, their midfield, the depth in their midfield is probably as good as anyone in the competition. And that's including Geelong. You know, I think Geelong have got some pretty good stuff up right up the top, but then it falls away a little bit. But they Collingwood, they got 6-7 players who can go through that midfield and are very, very damaging players. So that's going to be what's going to, and Sidebottom, who you mentioned, he probably falls into that player with that little bit of something that, he can bring to finals footy. He's a terrific player and has been. Sorry, the phone's ringing here.
What, the dog knocked over your shelves?
It's only Jimmy Buckley, actually. He'll be wanting the tips, so I'll get back to him later.
Yep. Hey, good morning, Hyfe. It's Chris Brownie here, mate. How are you going?
Yeah, good, Chris.
Mate, David, last time the Bulldogs played GWS in Sydney, the Doggies won comfortably by 60-odd points, and they're hot favourites to win this one as well. Last time, GWS were missing some big stars, including Jeremy Cameron and Shane Mumford, etc., etc. This one, I think it might be a bit closer than most people think. Your thoughts on the game?
Look, it depends what GWS side turns up, to be honest. They've got all the talent, all the ability. They just... They're not a betting prospect, I suppose, because they're so inconsistent and their bad games, their difference between their best and their worst is a great margin and that's not the sign of a good team. I mean, if your best and worst is pretty close together, then you've got a pretty good team there. But, the Doggies have been in great form leading into the finals and you think they would win, but if GWS can get it on their terms, they're a real confidence team. You know, when they're up and going, they'll beat anyone. But they just don't play consistently enough. So they're not a team that you really want to put your money on anyway.
And mate, Steve Smith, is
yep,
going
Steve
all right.
Smith.
Steve Smith, he's smashing them around, eh?
Hey,
geez, that's unbelievable. I mean, for him to come back from that. You know, I mean, it was a pretty solid knock he copped, and there's a lot of, you know, psychological, I suppose, things that, you know, I mean, obviously getting out there and the bloke who knocks you out, a couple of weeks ago is a bowl and bounces at you. For him to get out there and just play a magnificent innings like that, you think, where would we be without him?
Yeah.
I mean, the Poms would be 3-0 by now if he wasn't playing.
Up the proverbial creek.
Hey, Reece, back to football. Yeah. I think this is a football show,
yep.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
What about the big final tonight between the Brisbane Lions and the Richmond Tigers? Should be a big, big game.
Look, the way Brisbane have played all season, I just hope they bring that. And if Richmond are a little bit off, Richmond are probably the other form side coming into the finals, along with the Doggies, and looking very dangerous. But
do you think that playing up in Brisbane can bridge that 27-point gap that the Brisbane Lions lost by last night?
They haven't been out of the state for 8 or 9 weeks or whatever it's been. So they've just been used to playing on the MCG week in, week out. They go up into a different scenario. So and the conditions are going to be a bit different. The ground's obviously a different size and Brisbane play that ground very, very well. So, if Richmond are a little bit off, I reckon the Lions can get them because they've got some serious talented players in their team and match winners, you know. I'll be barracking for the Lions, put it that
way. Yeah, it was the only game last week that we were all just a little bit sitting on the fence, didn't really know how to go, and we still feel the same way. It's going to be a great game, I think. So, look, pardon me. Sorry, Dave, we've got to wrap it up there, mate. Thanks very much for coming on the show again. Only a few weeks to go to the GF. It's been a great year, mate. We, as always, appreciate you coming on. Supporters love it. Thanks for your insights, and go Blues.
That's it, go Blues. And that little package did arrive this week. Thank you very much for that.
Ah, beautiful.
Straight to the ballroom it went.
Ah, beautiful. Straight to the ballroom. Well deserved. Don't throw any VB cans at it, mate, all right?
So, hey, guys, have a great day.
Thanks,
have a great one. The hyphen, what he's talking about there, we sent over a little commemorative plaque for his efforts coming on the radio show, and we do love him coming on, and the supporters love it.
Mate,
he comes on every single week for us for 10 or 15 minutes to talk about the Blues, the game, and now the finals. So absolute legend, and we want him to keep doing that every year for us. So thanks, Hyph. And we will continue on to the GF, though. We've got a couple of sad days to go, and we've got about 5 minutes to go before we got to wrap it up and bring our friends in from the WL Drunk Polish. So before we do, I'd just like to a couple of quick reminders. We still have one more event for the year, and that, of course, is the AFL Grand Final. What we're doing, we're just asking every Carlton supporter out there, if you've got nothing to do, you haven't got any plans or parties, get down to the Empire and watch a game with us on the big screen, as always, at the Empire, home of the WA Blues. We want to fill it with as many Carlton supporters as possible because it's open slather for the grand final. They're going to open it up to all supporters. They want all supporters to wear their colours, and we want that too. We have the diversity, the colour and the fun. But we do want to remind them who the home of the Empire is, and it's the Blues. WA Blues. So get on down there with your Carlton gear on, no matter who you're supporting on the day to win the grand final. And just to remember that at halftime of the grand final, we will be drawing our season raffle. That first prize, of course, that magnificently framed Cade Simpson Courage jumper and all the other magnificent prizes. So you've got to be there to win it, which isn't quite true, but we would like you to be there if we draw your name out of the barrel. So get on down to the Empire. And we've still got about 30 tickets in that to sell.
Have we?
So we're going to keep selling tickets. It was limited to 300 exclusively. We've got about 30 tickets left to go. So we're going to sell them from before the start of the game right up to halftime, and they'll get chucked in as well. Yep. So if you want a last chance to get in there and win that season prize, you're still a chance. Get
and
in
mate,
there.
$6 pints.
And $6 pints.
Can I just butt in there? As someone who's hosted interstate functions, Carlton interstate functions around the country, Adelaide, Brisbane, etc., Hobart, and of course here in Perth, can I just give a big plug to the Empire? Not that the others are bad, because they're all fantastic function venues as well, but that would have to be the best pre-match function venue that I have hosted this year. And in all of the pre-season functions, that's been by far and away the best venue for such a function.
Look, I think the fact that it is our home as well, and even if it's not, if you got to know the management there at the Empire and the effort and the heart and soul that they put into making those events as successful and as great for the supporters as possible, they are passionate people. They're hard-working, they're amazing people. It's not just about the food and drink specials, it's about getting families together and watching the game on the big screen, or if the weather's a little bit off, which we were so lucky this year. But if it is, we've still got that big function room with a big TV in there. It's just a great footy venue. Yep.
Well, also, I know it helped by beating Fremantle, but even post-match, going back to the venue after the game was also a superb place to be. And you're right,
went
the
on
staff
that post-match. It was a big night.
It was a big night.
So thanks for that, Vince. And I'm sure the Empire appreciate those kind words. Guys, and just in between now and the grand final as well, that's the place to go and watch the finals.
Certainly.
Get down to the Empire.
Oh,
it is the best place to watch footy. So get in amongst it and enjoy it. Anything else, guys, want to throw in there? We've got a couple of more, maybe 1 minute.
What's your prediction for the grand final? Who's going to play off?
I have a really funny feeling, and people are going to laugh at me when I say, I've got a feeling it's going to be Eagles and Collingwood again in the grand final.
Really?
I think Collingwood are going to get that. They're showing a lot of resolve with their injury list, and even with DeGoey, who's going to be unlikely if it is any sort of grade tear and not playing.
And Greenwood too.
And I'm going to have to kick myself out of this studio. I'm sick of talking about the prison bars. Well, but I just got to, if Nick Nat stays on the park, if Collingwood keep showing the resolve that they are, I just think that they got the toughness and there's just something about it. And I'm a bit of a romantic. I would love to see that grand final. I think it'll be a fantastic grand final.
That would require the Eagles to play another two finals at the MCG and win them both before playing the grand final again at the MCG.
They trained at the MCG every week, mate. They built an oval just for it.
Jeez, yeah. I still think whoever wins tonight's game, Brisbane, Richmond, will make the grand final.
Yeah, one step into the prelim.
Out of any of them, I think Richmond would be the one that could get up there if my prediction's wrong, which it probably will be because it's me. But, yeah. Look, guys, we do got to go. We've got to wrap it up for these guys. Fantastic show again. Thanks, Doro.
Thanks
to the hyphen, as always. And thanks to our very special guest, Mr. Vince Lochisano, coming into the studio today and helping us out. And Andy Jones, I hope the hangover's going well, and I hope you're in a lot of pain. So other than that, everyone, go Blues.
Go Blues.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous.